I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Jeff.
Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Cole.
Hi.
Stuart just made an executive decision because we started talking about the movie.
He
said, I'm hitting the record button.
We just needed to start recording right away, or else we were going to lose all the talk.
Yeah. It's the interesting thing to me, aside from Denzel, is the way this is simultaneously a reinvention of Travolta that kind of pushes him into this third era that we started today, which... Sidebar for the listener at home. You may have noticed new theme music this episode. We just listened to our retrospective. This is officially the beginning of the Travolta-sploitation era.
Yeah.
However, we have said very much we regret making it so, the beginning of this.
I've been wanting to ask you why this and not like From Paris with Love is the transition.
So back at the very beginning, we kind of made the transition points. And we got to the point too late where we realized this was the wrong spot to put it. But we'd already recorded episodes coming out after this. And we kind of done all the work already. So we just kind of had to stick with it. But I think this and the film we talk about next week that we recorded like 7 years ago, Old Dogs, are the real ending of the A-list era. But I think they're transition films.
They are transition films. And I think we said this in our... recap era episode that Old Dogs particularly is very transitional because it's the beginning, it's the end of his Disney deal.
Old Dogs is what kills his Disney kills future John Travolta vehicles after Old Dogs flops.
But also, and I had this thought earlier today that I wish I had thought of when we did the Hairspray episode, but Hairspray, you know, you said this very clearly, Jeff, that like Travolta's performance is Ed Turnblad and Hairspray is good. It's a good performance. And Hairspray is not a bad...
very good performance.
And Hairspray is not a bad movie. It's actually a pretty good movie, depending on, you know, it fits a certain type of audience. But in all fairness, I think with that type of audience, it really resonates with them to this day. To this day. Like, people who liked that movie back then still like it now.
Because it's a masterpiece, yes.
Good movie.
Hairspray is Travolta's second blowout.
Yeah. Well, third, if we count Battlefield Earth.
Well, no.
Yes.
No.
No. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Battlefield Earth is not underrated in any fashion, shape, or form. It is correctly rated as being terrible.
What if it was pretty good? No, I'm kidding.
What do you mean by second blowout? Because thinking
blowout was the film.
You said blowout as like, well, it flopped, and if it hadn't flopped, everything is different.
Oh, hear me out on this, because you're right in saying that. But blowout came out. It came out for the wrong audience.
Yeah,
and that's what killed it. It's because Blowout came out after the darkness of the 70s, during the beginning of the bright-eyed America's the Best Reagan era, and people didn't like that the movie ended in a sad way, and that's what, and people who watched it didn't like it, didn't go see it a second time, and they spread the word that this is a movie you may want to avoid because it's dark and depressing.
Yes.
And that's what killed it, and that's what killed John Travolta's career in the 80s. Well, now fast forward.
What killed his career is that made him scared, and then he made bad choices right after that killed his career.
Yes.
And so
you had thrown out I think it was you, Jeff. It might have been you, Stuart. I'm sorry. But I think in the Blood episode, you said something about, like, what if he had taken supporting roles?
Yes.
After Blowout, his career is completely different. Yes. And I think about that a lot.
Yeah. But to finish my point, but fast forward to Hairspray. This is coming out in just before Obama gets elected, not even taken office. This is before the 2008 election. This is not 2007. So we're like well deep into, you know, the two-term Bush era America. Yeah. And here's the thing, because the LGBTQ community, which for awful as it is, has been like, I feel like in the 2000s, like the fight, it always been a fight like earlier than that, like in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. But I feel like it really got its footing in the early 2000s up until the Supreme Court ruled, you know, same-sex marriage to be completely constitutional in all 50 states in 2013. And in 2007, in the early 2000s to mid-2000s, just right around the 2010 era, there was like the backlash behind it.
Yeah.
This is where we get like the whole thing with like the post-Civil War statues that get built up as Black people try to fight for the civil rights that people think, no, it's like, we're going to build these Civil War statues to remind you guys who's on top.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 2007, and we can all agree on this, right? We watch Wild Hogs, and like, people weren't as, they didn't care as much of making a point about homophobia in the 90s, 80s, 70s, and 60s. I mean, yeah, there were some films that were like, oh, he's gay, he should go to prison or be medicated or whatever. But it wasn't so much in the early 2000s. It was
gay jokes in comedies.
And it was all about that, like, bashing about, like, oh my God, he's gay, this is so weird. Like, again, Travolta's going to do at least two of those. He's probably done more, but like Wild Dogs, Old Dogs, all movies that are about like, ha ha ha, he's gay movies.
Yeah.
And Hairspray came out right in the fucking center of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like if that movie came out 4 years ago, 2016, 2017, would it have worked? I mean, there's a lot of things here, but like, would it have worked exactly as well? Maybe, maybe not. But would it have had the same amount of homophobia backlash that it got back when it actually originally came out? I don't think so. And I don't think it would have caused such a major backlash for Travolta to not be taken seriously, which we established.
Yes.
And that's why I think Hairspray is Travolta's second blowout.
I mean, I think you're maybe giving it a little too little credit for people taking that seriously. He came pretty close to an Oscar nomination for that.
He came... Here's the thing.
It was probably 7 or 8.
Yeah, so the problem was with Hairspray is not the Academy version of it. It's in a general consciousness, and we both talked about this with our own parents. Right after that movie came out, the general, like, if you mention John Travolta to...
he's a joke.
He's a joke.
Yeah, fair.
He played a woman in that movie.
And I don't think the same would have been true if this movie came out 4 years ago.
Yeah, or even 2 years after.
Because 2 years after, that's a huge difference.
If it came out after, in 2011, he would have been called brave on every news outlet. Yeah. And every news outlet would have been saying, look at John Travolta, the guy who's been the heartthrob, the charismatic guy who's putting himself into this very vulnerable state. But like being a very large woman.
And I very much don't think it's there's a very clear correlation with John Travolta generally becoming a joke in popular culture right around the time Hairspray comes out.
Yeah, I agree. Because
he gets out of joke territory in the 90s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He starts sliding back into it with Battlefield Earth, but he's still doing like things that people are like, oh yeah, John Travolta, he's whatever. It's not until Hairspray that like he fully becomes a joke again.
Yeah.
And then this movie is reeling it back, is Tony Scott, in a sense, trying to reinvent Travolta again.
From Paris.
With
love.
That's right, folks. This week, Travolting is taking the badass dive into the Parisian underworld for a movie that does not make sense. I could not follow.
I don't remember.
That I watched 4 hours ago.
It's got cocaine. It's got hookers.
And it's got
suicide
John Travolta.
Bra-
It's the way you went for Suicide Bombers and I went for John Travolta. I thought we were in lockstep on that one. I thought we were ready for that.
Okay, thank you for joining us on the second episode of John Travolta on Travolta. You can find us on Spotify.
Covering Savages.
I would like if someone told me who he was. That'd be kind of cool.
I can tell you all about
You could tell me who he was. I'll just listen.
Oh my God, your audio sounds so much better.
I'll just listen. You tell me who
So John Travolta. John Travolta.
I'm sorry. Are we straying from the topic at hand, Jeff? Is that annoying you? Oh my God.
I'm about
the hypocrisy.
I'm about to find out who Oliver Stone is. Can we just
Mark? Let's both take a hit of our jewels while he talks about John Travolta.
Ready?
Cheers.
All right. So John Travolta, he's at a low point. So
that was Chris.
They are fist bumping.
Okay.
I'm listening, Jeff.
I'm listening.
But no, Blake Lively's narrating the opening this movie. She's explaining all of their lives.
First thing we cut to is they're having sex, right?
Yes.
They're fucking.
Right. They're fucking.
John doesn't have sex. John fucks.
He's like, that's right. When she's like trying to narrate, it's like, you know, John's like a Navy SEAL or whatever who went to Afghanistan's all fucked up from war. It's like, so he's literally trying to fuck the war out of him.
Yeah.
And while he's giving me orgasms, I'm giving him wargasms. An actual line
that
in the movie.
3 minutes into this movie.
An actual line in the movie.
3 minutes into this movie, wargasms. She says the term wargasms.
And you're wondering if you think the movie's intentionally funny or not.
I'm not wondering.
You fucking know.
We knew this.
I hope it's intentionally funny. Covering the Forger. That's basically the context corner of this movie.
Yeah,
There's no exciting anecdotes. There's one bit of one piece of trivia on IMDb.
Oh,
That I think is truly magical.
It's
the one about John Travolta traveled to Hong Kong to study oil painting to prepare for his role in this movie.
Which
I have several questions.
Well, I just think
this movie is set in Boston.
And it's not about any oil painting of a Hong Kong like culture.
Yeah.
It's French Monet impressionistic painting.
Charles is like, that's just fantastic. I want to go to Hong Kong to study oil painting. They're like, John, it's about a French painting. He's like, great. And he's like in the plane.
Or I honestly think
he's flying his Boeing over to Hong Kong.
I honestly think it's like Travolta was in Hong Kong when he got the call that he was in this movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's just fantastic.
I'm
in Hong Kong right now. And I actually was looking at some oil paintings and I think will really benefit myself for the film. And then flash forward 2 years, he's doing a press junket for this. And they'd be like, oh, so when you found out you got the role, was there any preparation for this? Like, well, it's funny you should ask because I was in Hong Kong when I got it. And if, lo and behold, that person added that on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
So,
covering Life on the Line. Job in the movie is like, I'll bring this home for dinner or something like that. You're like, oh no.
No, they're not bringing that home for dinner. They're going to bring home their fried chicken corpse.
Yeah, I was just going to make the same joke. I was going to say, he's not bringing fried chicken home. He's bringing fried himself.
So he leaves and it's like a tree line came down an electrical wire, and so Bo shows up, and Bo's like this reckless guy, and Bo, who played by John Travolta, which we'll get into the hair and beard in a moment, I have lots of thoughts.
Are we gonna have to do several rankings for this? Because there's three different
looks. There's going to be two rankings for this.
There's three different looks in this.
But there's going to be two rankings for this.
Okay.
One of them is the other flashback.
Fucking Duck Dynasty looking ass.
The Wild Hogs but real biker. Yeah. This is
with him.
Yes.
And he climbs to the top of the pole and he does, and everyone's like, yeah, Bo was the best. And he comes down and his brother's like, you missed one. And
so botch the job. If you don't do it right, you don't do it at all.
And so his brother climbs up to fix the the one pole problem.
Yeah, and then lightning.
Lightning comes down. Massive explosion. It's fucking Uncle Bob all over again from Urban Cowboy. We're in Texas again.
We are in Texas
again. It's the exact same thing. A lightning bolt hits the power. You see his brother go, oh,
no!
The power box explodes. His brother like gets an iMovie like flame effect drawn on him. He falls and he's like,
flies off.
The ragdoll like does like 70 spins in the air, flies 3 blocks away.
Falls on the ground in flames, burning.
Yeah, and Trolls like,
no!
And it cuts to
him showing up at the house. Oh, by the way.
No, it cuts to another woman showing up at a house.
It's Bailey's mom.
It's Bailey's like, it's someone else, and they show up to Bailey's house. And like his, like her mom, the Geralt's sister-in-law, rushes out the door crying and like gets in a car. She's left her daughter with somebody.
Yeah.
And is like driving the car to the hospital dramatically and crying. And she sees the ambulance go past along with Travolta's truck. And so she's like, oh, I gotta follow them. And she's not paying attention. And like a fucking like 37 wheeler like rails it.
There's another massive
the car. There's like 8 flips. Did you see how many flips this thing is? Like
too many flips.
It's like me in like Grand Theft Auto when I like rail my car and just like flies to the air and just crashes on the ground.
The woman,
and she did.
Yeah.
And now Bailey's been orphaned.
In like the first 10 minutes.
And
Charles
is like, oh, gal! And then the title, Life on the Line, pops up.
Well, Travolta shows up. It's like, who's your favorite uncle?
Yeah. He takes his belt off. No. No, that does not happen.
But he does get really close to the young version of Bailey's. The actress who plays the young version of Bailey gets really close to her ear and says, who's your favorite uncle? Who's your favorite uncle? And she turns to him and says, you are. He's like, I'm going to take care of you from now on. Yeah. Should we just get into the hair ranking?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Cue the hair ranking music now. Welcome to the hair ranking. We're going to have 2 rankings for this.
Oh, God.
Jeff.
Yeah. Stuart.
I think we're about to dethrone Staying Alive.
Whoa!
Yeah. I think we're about to dethrone Staying Alive.
What?
So in this movie, we're gonna get to this later, but there's another flashback.
Yes.
Where we see John Travolta before he was a lineman.
Yes.
Jeff, and what was he before he was a lineman?
He was a biker.
He was a biker. And I implore folks, there are not that many images. Like, if you Google John Travolta, Life on the Line, biker, like, there's like one image that you can find, and it's very pixelated, and it's very hard to look. But
it's this one, right?
And it's a wide shot, yes. If you zoom in, you can see the full beard and the long hair.
He's going full biker.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Becca literally walked out of like the bedroom right as that scene came up, and she's like, I'm so glad this is the moment I walked out.
So there's gonna be 2 rankings, one called Life on the Line.
Yes.
And one called Life on the Line Biker Flashback.
Yes.
Put Biker Flashback in number 1.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, explain. You gotta explain.
Daddy's got a rod. Daddy's got the rod, man. And I'm sorry. I know people are like, what the fuck's this got to say about the story? It has nothing to do with the story, and it doesn't look that amazing. Like, it's got totally a wig and fake a beard. I'm like, listen.
He's looking like Duck Dynasty.
I know. Mm. And I had to think to myself, you know, since we had Staying Alive, I knew nothing was going to, like, match that look.
Yeah.
So the only thing I could hope for in terms of how good his hair could look, subjective of whether the movie's good or not. Because, you know, sometimes you can have good hair in a really bad movie, as we can say in Staying Alive.
Yes.
Not a good movie, but he has fucking great hair. His hair on Life on the Line and that biker flashback.
Yeah.
and the whole package.
It's something.
Oh my God.
It's something.
Oh my God. I mean, if you don't fucking come five times, comes, like, I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm putting life on the line, biker flashback number one. Now, when it comes to...
What are we putting on his actual look?
His actual look, it's still going to go pretty high. It's not going to go number one.
This is a shock. This is crazy.
But I still like it because he's got a full beard with like longish hair. And it's like, it leans into like the age. Oh my God. Look at this. Oh. Look at this face. Oh, yeah. Lumberjack Travolta. Can I see the hair ranking?
Yes, you can see the hair ranking.
I need, okay. Okay. Put this, put this above domestic disturbance, below be cool.
Above domestic disturbance, below number 12.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. What? Yeah. That happens, and they send all the line workers out.
Yeah.
To fix the thing.
Deploy the linemen.
Yes.
We are the line.
Lineman powers activate.
Lineman Red Ranger. Blue lineman Ranger.
Travolta just turns into a mech suit. It's a this big mech suit like holds the power.
We must combine our mech suits and form the Megazord lightman.
And it fights. It fights the storm. It punches the cloud.
It's a giant construction helmet. Yeah. Give me my hot pole. He uses the hot pole as a staff and a spear.
Yeah. So all the linemen go out. Power goes out across the county.
Yes.
All the drama begins.
And there's like a control room bit where they can all see this happening in real time.
And this guy's like, if that water hits the main, it's the water pressure under Wayne Tower, God. It's going to blow. The whole system is going to blow.
We need more teeth. Oh, God.
No, it's actually the control room from Taking of Pelham. Denzel's in there.
He's like, it feels like a confessional. Oh my God. This movie sucks.
The linemen go out.
They get to the train tracks.
Yeah, they get to the train tracks, and Travolta turns over and he's like, "Hey, chief!" To look at to the fire chief.
And he turns around.
From Ladder 49.
It's chief John Morrison.
From Ladder 49. Travolta's playing two dudes in this.
He
apparently transferred from Baltimore
to Texas.
Yeah, to Texas. And he's like, "I got a guy in there!" And they're like, "We got a guy in there!" Meanwhile, Bo has to bring his guys to a new substation to like try and redirect the power.
And one of the guys goes with the injured line worker to the hospital.
Yeah.
And as they're at the hospital, the power goes out, but the backup generator kicks back on.
And the backup generator kicks off.
And while Bailey is in surgery, the backup.
So they don't have their screens, x-rays, or lights.
They're working in the dark.
Yeah.
So then Travolta is with Duncan at the substation.
And he gets a call from one of his guys who's like, Bailey's been shot. The power went out. We gotta get her back.
Or else she's gonna die.
And I was like, oh shit. He's like, how'd she get shot? What was she doing?
And then like the stakes just went up monstrously high.
The stakes are explosive at this point.
And so Travolta then goes to Duncan. He's like, I'm gonna tell you something, and you can't freak out. It's like, so Bailey's been shot, and we gotta put this power on, or else they're not gonna be able to save you in surgery.
Yeah, it's like this movie's like this. Okay, so let me just restructure what just happened. There's a massive storm wiping out power across Texas. It knocked a power line into a train that exploded. The train exploded.
Yeah.
As a result of the power going out, a angry guy was inspired to go attempt to kill and rape a woman who was yelled at him once. And her husband, who has PTSD from his time in Iraq,
who didn't commit suicide on the
attempted to commit suicide, comes back discovers this and has to kill the guy who's trying to rape his wife, but he also accidentally shoots the pregnant neighbor who they have to rush to the hospital when the power goes out.
But he's about to kill himself.
Yes.
And the wife talks about a bit.
Yeah.
And they make up and laugh, and then they find out, oh shit, we shot a pregnant lady.
Yes. And so take all her to the this hospital. Is happening. Charles is like, what is going on? What is happening? And so he climbs to the top of the substation. And like,
and
like
we gotta put the pistons down so it redracts the power. So they do this like turntile thing. It's like
stuck.
King, rung, king, rung, 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 and one of them is stuck.
And they have to knock it down.
So Travolta climbs up there and
he's
like,
he starts like hitting it with his stick.
It's like, give me the hot stick or whatever. Yeah. It's a stick you can use to hit like electrical wires. And he tries to hit it and it's not working.
Yeah, it's not going
working.
Down.
And so then Travolta stops and pauses. And then
well, no, what happens is the Avengers theme starts playing. And he holds the hot stick up in the air. And the storm starts swirling around him. The power of Thor comes down.
And lightning strikes the hot rod. It's like, by the power of Grayskull.
He turns into Chris Hemsworth. And he smacks it down.
The lightning strikes. Lightning surges into the state of Texas.
Yeah.
And then Iron Man, who is seemingly in the movie, guns up the power 400% and says, how about that?
Yeah, okay, so we're very loopy at this point, as I'm sure you can tell. That is not what happens. I genuinely did think at that moment, because it looks like, it's very close up as like a sacrifice play. That he's gonna, and I thought he was about to stick the pole in the air and conduct the electricity through himself from the lightning to like power the thing.
God, that would have been
like,
so much cooler.
And I was like, yeah. I'm hooting and hollering
let's
about
go.
It. I'm like, let's go. This is my kind of movie,
Instead, this motherfucker is just like, he's
like, tell my niece I love her. And he like just pushes the cable. And then
he like jumps up and does a body slam on the piston.
As he's like, electrocutes himself. And he gets electrocuted and gets blasted back.
Uncle Bob out into the ether. Oh, I was a ball. As we could say, Urban Cowboy.
Yeah.
He stepped up and took Uncle Bob's place.
Yes. The sequel to that.
The sequel.
Thematically.
Yeah. But yeah, he gets Uncle Bobbed into the ether.
Onto them.
On
we
fire
never see his
Kentucky
body.
Fried. No, we don't.
Yeah, Kentucky
we
Fried. Cold beer on a Friday night. Anyway, here's what I want to call Adam Campbell right now and get his live reactions on this movie.
Let's do it.
I'm putting him on speaker. Here we go. Sir, can you hear him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put it up to the mic, though.
Okay. Hello? Hi, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Hello, Jeff. What's up?
Stuart's here as well. You're live on Travolting right now. Yes, you are live on Travolting.
You have something to answer for.
I have something to answer for?
Yes.
Yes.
What's
so,
that?
So we're covering this movie called Life on the Line.
Okay.
And I went to Letterboxd. And I see you are the only person I know who's seen this movie.
Oh, Life on the Line.
Yes. And we felt the need to get your live reaction to this movie.
Let's see. What happened in that? Like, electrical lines explode. John Travolta's in it. The dude from what's that movie about death? You know, hunting people.
The Hunt? Wait, no.
No. The Final Destination.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. He gets a girl pregnant or something. I don't remember. Like a kid or something. erroneous plot points that have nothing to do with Life on the Line. I don't remember John Travolta's purpose in it. He's like the old wise man or something.
Yeah. No, he's the head of his division of linemen.
Linemen.
Who hates the guy from Final Destination and sacrifices himself at the end to save the power grid of Texas.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's coming back to me now.
We were severely lacking on things to talk about this movie until we saw you had also seen it.
What I love about that the most is that you say he sacrificed his life to save the power grid of Texas, and Adam's like, oh, yeah, that freaks me out.
What?
Covering In a Valley of Violence.
I think it needs to be cast well.
Yeah.
And like this is on my mind because I just watched In a Valley of Violence, mm-hmm. which, you know, is a Western. It's set vaguely shortly after the end of the Civil War.
Yes.
And I also just saw The Northman.
Yes.
And I had the same thought in both those movies, which is that Ethan Hawke has a face that knows what a latte is. I don't buy him as a cowboy. Ethan Hawke is not a cowboy. Ethan Hawke is not a Viking king.
After you say that, I think that really just makes a lot of sense.
That takes the
Ethan Hawke can play shitty ex-boyfriends.
He can play
and things
priest.
That are within 2 degrees of separation from a shitty ex-boyfriend. He's very good at doing that one.
Covering Gotti. So, you know, Gotti just, it was a big movie for me. And it just started kind of this obsession with Travolta where I was just like, what is this guy's deal? Because I think the whole thing that's fascinating about this movie, amongst many others, is how clearly committed Travolta is to the bit.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks this is like his Oscar movie. He thinks this is big. Mm-hmm. He thinks this is the thing that's going to bring him back, which he's thought many times before.
Yeah.
But everything about it just like made it so fascinating to me as an artifact about Travolta. And I just, from that point on, I just became more and more obsessed with Travolta as an institution, which eventually led to me being like, I'm going to do a Gotti podcast. It's going to be like Gotti minute by minute. We're going to discuss every minute of Gotti. And I was like, you're thinking too small, Jeff. So I started thinking bigger. And what if we covered every single John Travolta movie?
What year is this when you're thinking this?
Late 2018, early 2019.
Okay.
Around this time, I meet another young impressionable lad named Stuart Elmore. And, you know, first I got to suss him out. And I'm just like, oh, what do you think about John Travolta? And he's like, I have no opinions. And I'm like, perfect. Exactly what I'm looking for. And that's when I was like, yeah, Stuart, maybe we should do a podcast together. Maybe we should do a little podcast together. And Stuart's like, oh, what about? And I'm like, John Travolta. And you're like, what? And I was like, no, nothing. And you know, the idea kept kicking around. And eventually you were like, you know what? Let's just do a John Travolta podcast. It's the middle of quarantine. It's COVID.
We were unemployed. We had nothing to do.
And from the very beginning, I knew, as we started with The Devil's Reign, I was like, the Gotti episode's going
to be. But that movie's like fucking what? 2 hours long?
It's a little under two.
Life is too short to watch a 2-hour John Travolta movie. I am a busy man. I do not have time to watch Gotti. If Gotti was like a clean 80, I probably would have watched.
But you have 30 minutes of your day to talk about Gotti.
He pledged to
that's easy.
So Cole pledged to never watch Gotti. Now, when the bell tolled for this podcast, and I told him, if you're going to be on an episode, you got to commit to be on the Gotti episode. He said, I will never watch Gotti. But what did you do for this?
I did read a biography of John Gotti.
This is true. He read a biography of John Gotti Sr. And Cole, as a New York-based guest,
yes.
Can you tell me what are the 5 boroughs of New York? Because I'm a little sketchy on the details.
Oh my God. Manhattan.
Oh my yes.
God. Oh my God.
Brooklyn.
Okay, that's 2.
Queens.
3.
The Bronx.
4.
Staten Island.
5. So yes. Would you say that makes a fist?
No, I would say that makes a very large city.
So I want to step in here, Cole, because yes. What's very interesting is you talked about his childhood and then there's a 10-year gap.
And there's a fucking 10-year gap.
And then he's inducted into the Gambino family.
Which, I mean, I think, again, it's like you have access to what you have access to.
Yeah.
You know, he's not notable for these guys. He is not notable for the people who are keeping records on these guys in law enforcement when he is just a street hoodlum.
One could say it's akin to the Jesus story.
Honestly,
it's a 10-year gap.
It's a little bit of a shady gap in Jesus' teenage years that we don't know about.
Let me tell you, Cole, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
When the cops busted it up, let me tell you, John Gotti and Bobby Borriello, they went up to those cops and, Stuart, what did they ask?
They said, we got the lawyers ready.
On the line.
We got bail money.
With interest. With interest. Then send them up. And they shoot all the fireworks off. Bobby Borriello.
And he's like, you got the lawyers on speed dial. You got bail money?
With interest.
I thought it was funny.
Or Stuart and I have a favorite line in this movie.
What is it?
What is it?
It's when he's about to set off the fireworks. Yes, and the cops are like, "You don't have a permit for this." And he and Bobby Borriello, who's my favorite character in this movie. Big fan of Bobby Borriello.
Yeah.
He's like, "Bobby, we got the lawyers
on speed dial.
We got the bail money
with interest."
I loved it. I loved it.
Like,
that's my biggest question. Why
you got
did they
the bail
just
money
leave?
With interest?
And a bunch of portals start opening all around Central Park behind Gotti. And the combined forces of all five boroughs, the forces of all five boroughs emerge from the portals, along with, believe me, the ghosts of mobsters past. That's right, Al Capone comes out of a portal, probably played by Tom Hardy. Al Pacino reprises his role as ghost of Michael Corleone. All the mobsters are coming. Jimmy from Goodfellas is there. And they all come out of these portals.
Whereas Bobby's shoving the fireworks down Paul's throat, he looks down at a wounded Gotti and he says, "You got bail money?
With interest."